Today is Trinity Sunday, and we have a number of announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. After the 8:30 Mass tomorrow, there'll be the cleaning of the chapel. This Thursday, June 8th, is the Feast of Corpus Christi. There'll be a high Mass at 9 a.m., followed by the procession and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. So, weather permitting, we'll have the, as we usually do, the procession outside, but it might be indoors if it is not suitable with the weather. So that's this Thursday, 9 a.m. If you plan to come to the High Mass on Corpus Christi, we ask that everyone please park in the east parking lot over there, because the front areas of the chapel and the two parking islands need to be free of cars for the procession with the Blessed Sacrament. We don't need to remind you, but we will anyway, how important it is, if possible, to assist at Mass on the Feast of Corpus Christi, because that is a feast honoring the very reason for the Catholic Church, the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. So if you're able to, or you need to change your schedule, we ask you do so to honor our Lord and to sanctify your souls. Today, Trinity Sunday, marks the end of the season. Paschal season has ended, but if you need to fulfill your Easter duty, that is receiving Holy Communion, that ends today, Trinity Sunday. Those who would like to assist us in mowing the east side of the landscape may come this Wednesday, June 7th, after the 8:30 Mass. We had to cancel the mowing yesterday due to the rainy weather. So that is this Wednesday after the 8:30 Mass. Now, we put out on the bulletin board an announcement about ushers, men who like to volunteer to be an usher, because every so many years we need to ask for volunteers. And I looked at it early this morning, and I just see one lonely volunteer. So we ask you men, if you're able to help us with the ushering, because right now we had two, and now we have three ushers. And as you know, it's for taking the collection and then assisting the laity during Holy Communion. But it is a corporal work of mercy, because you are assisting the priest to have correct order in the chapel during the Mass. And what the ushers do, just so you know, they are fulfilling one of the functions of the minor orders. The porter, he was one of the steps to the priesthood after tonsure, is to have this minor order of porter who would open in the door, and he was in charge of who would be allowed to come into the church and who was not worthy, meaning they weren't properly dressed. Or in the early church, the porter would make sure that the non-Catholics had to leave after the sermon, because they were not worthy to see the canon of the Mass and the consecration. Eventually, the church allowed everyone to assist. But I'm just saying that the usher fulfills that. So, any of you men, if you have a generous heart and you'd like to volunteer, the more of you that volunteer, then it's less often that you each have to take your turn. But it is a privilege. So we'd like you to pray over it and then sign the paper on the bulletin board if you'd like to do that. The saints this week, the feast days, tomorrow is the feast of St. Boniface the Martyr. Tuesday, June 6th, St. Norbert, founder of the Norbertines. And Saturday, St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland. But the only saint we'll speak about in some detail is today's feast, which is, of course, superseded by Trinity Sunday, but St. Francis Caracciolo. So if you know anything about surnames, obviously he was from Italy. And he was born in the Abruzzi area of Italy in 1568. And what happened to him, it's an unusual story, but how he became a saint, how he fulfilled his calling, his vocation. And that is, when he was a young man, he came down with a very severe illness, very sick. And he thought, I must pray because I want to serve God the best way I can so that I'm ready for God to take me, because he knew, as he thought, my end is coming. So he made a promise to be as perfect as possible in serving God. Of course, our Lord knew the plan for this man, and he recovered from his illness, but he fulfilled his promise to live a perfect life as much as possible, as we are all supposed to do. And he did not know what his vocation, what he was supposed to do, so as God uses the circumstances of life, a letter came to him, and it was about an invitation to come to a meeting to meet these two other men to start a men's religious community. So this is in the late 1500s. The letter was not meant for him. It was sent to him by mistake. But he opened it and thought, well, I'll go and go to this meeting. And he, according to God's providence, became the leader and the founder of the Order of Minor Clerks Regular. So it's one of the Franciscan orders. So there's the original one, the Franciscans, started by St. Francis of Assisi several centuries earlier, but then there are many offshoots. And he, because he was dedicated to St. Francis, he took the name Francis as a religious. And it is providential that his feast day is always around the Feast of Corpus Christi, because he had a great and fervent devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. It said when he would go to the chapel and pray, his heart would melt being in front of our Lord in the tabernacle. Such was his love and devotion to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And because God knows the time we all must pass from this world to the next, on the vigil of Corpus Christi, he died at the age of 40. And as the biographers say, that he was an example for us to pray to subject our bodies, our emotions, our feelings, to our souls, to our intellect and will, which are enlightened by divine grace, by revelation from the Holy Trinity. And he, to follow that example, subject our bodies to our souls so that we may be worthy to receive the Holy Eucharist. Because every time we come to the communion rail, we are not just connected to heaven, but we physically receive, as you know, God the Son. And along with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, of course, is the Holy Trinity. So he is a beautiful saint for our times and for today to increase our devotion to the Holy Eucharist. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him that recompense should be made him? For from him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So for you among the faithful who have been coming to Mass here for a year or 40 plus years, you'll notice that we're not wearing the vestment that we always wear on this feast. It's a beautiful gold vestment that has the image of the Holy Trinity on the back, on the applique. Our Father Superior is using that vestment in the oratory this morning right now. He's offering Mass. This vestment, as you saw when we came into the sanctuary, has the image of the infant Jesus of Prague. And this beautiful vestment was given to Father just some weeks ago on his 50th anniversary by one of you, one of the laity, who is very generous and is a very dedicated person to the faith and to our community. And this person wanted to show the love they have for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, our community, and as a personal gift to Father on his anniversary. So yesterday we asked our Father Superior, could we instead use this vestment instead of the Holy Trinity one for the Mass, the conventional Mass for the laity? And he said, of course. And the reason we did that is because we felt most of you hadn't seen it yet, and you should, but also for what it represents. Because, as you know, God is infinite. God is eternal. He depends on no creature because he is uncreated. And in his wisdom and knowledge and love, he decided to, as the theologians say, to reveal something of himself by creation. The universe, the world, the angels, but especially mankind. and in his knowledge of the future, because God knows all things, he knew that after he created Adam and Eve, giving them a free will, he knew that they would be led astray by his former greatest creation, which was greatest angel ever, at least at the beginning, was Lucifer, the bearer of light. But Lucifer was proud, and he fell from grace and was buried in a place of eternal punishment, which God created, hell. But God has mercy on us, as you know, because of our weakness, our mistakes, our sins, and our malice, to save us, his poor creatures. He created the greatest human being ever, human person, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And from the Blessed Virgin Mary, he came forth through the Incarnation to become one of us, to redeem us on the cross, to make up for our sins. So what we've done is, in a few minutes, summarized the whole Paschal mystery, which we've experienced the last several months through Lent and Easter. But do you see how God, by becoming one of us, wants to have us be attracted to him? He accommodates himself to us. So how can a human being, how can anybody comprehend or even know about the Holy Trinity? It's impossible. God had to reveal the fact that he is one God, but three persons in one God. He had to reveal that to those who had the ears to hear it in the Old Testament, but especially in the New Testament. So faith, as you know, St. Paul says, faith comes through hearing. We hear the word of God and we keep it. We embrace it, we follow it, and that's how we get to heaven. We tell people, we tell all of you, we tell our students how important it is to read. We were just saying that yesterday to one of our seminarians, how important it is to read and have a love of reading. But unfortunately, so many people, young people especially today, don't like to read. They haven't been trained. So it's something that maybe it's more difficult. Not to worry, because you can listen to the Word of God and be saved. That is exactly what the Blessed Mother did. She had no sacred scripture. There was the Old Testament, but she heard the Word of God from before our Lord was conceived in her womb. She heard it from the Jewish leaders, the rabbis in the temple, but also she heard the Word of God when our Lord started preaching. She would often be present, maybe always, at his sermons, and she heard our Lord preach, her son. And that's happened the last 2,000 years. Because our Lord wants to make revelation, especially the most difficult dogmas, easy and appealing to us. So this is a preface to the whole devotion to the Holy Infant Jesus of Prague. Now you heard our Father Superior gave a beautiful little conference when we reinstalled perfected the image and the clothing of the infant Jesus of Prague in the back of the chapel. Because he'd been honored there, but maybe, I wouldn't say neglected, but not promoted as much. Our Lord became a man, an infant, to show his helplessness. And that's why we have the beautiful Feast of Christmas, but also all the art and culture around that, because it shows our Lord is needing to be taken care of. Helpless, needing to be clothed and fed and honored as the Blessed Mother did. And by God's providence, over the centuries, there were images, statues, and pictures, paintings of our Lord as a little boy. And that is the most beautiful one, the one that is most widespread, is the Holy Infant Jesus of Prague, and why we should have a devotion to him. The whole point of my saying this is because how do we have a love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost except through our Lord? And the most appealing or attractive, at least for many of us, is as an infant or as a young boy. As authors have said, and we'll read some of this, why this is a devotion for centuries and why it is spread all over the world. It used to be that virtually all the hundreds of thousands of chapels and churches and cathedrals all over the world had an image of the infant Jesus of Prague. As this author says, devotion to the infant Jesus of Prague is devotion to the child Jesus. It is veneration of the Son of God, who in the form of an infant chose a stable for a palace, a manger for a cradle, and shepherds for worshipers. Our Savior grants special graces to all who venerate his sacred infancy. We could give easily a whole separate conference on the devotion and the history of this miraculous statue, but we can't do that today. But some of the quotes of our Lord to those who were devoted to him were as this: I hereby give you what I prize most highly in this world. As long as you venerate this image, you will not be in want. And have pity on me, and I will have pity on you. Give me my hands, and I will give you peace. The more you honor me, the more I will bless you. So those were words of our Lord to those who actually possess this miraculous statue, which is in Prague, Czech Republic, right now. When he said, give me my hands, that is because where the statue was for a while, it had been attacked by anti-Catholics, and they knocked down the statue and broke it and threw it behind an altar, and it was there for many years totally hidden until his father Cyril, who is a Carmelite priest, went to great lengths to have it restored. And he met with opposition from fellow religious, from priests, from bishops, even from his superior, who did not want to have this, the original statue restored because it was broken and partially disfigured. But God had a plan, and this priest would not give up. He persevered. So, devotion to the infant is how you have devotion to the Holy Trinity. Now, we have in this beautiful Mass of today, the readings are short. We've had all these long epistles and gospel during Lent and Paschaltide. But with this Sunday, we begin a new season. As you know, it's the season after Pentecost. Advent is called the season dedicated to the Holy Trinity, beginning the season of the Holy Trinity, but specific to God the Father, to prepare for the coming of His Son. And then Christmas through Easter, the rain season, emphasizing our Lord and our redemption, incarnation and redemption. And then this whole season, from today up to Advent, the season and reign of the Holy Spirit. And so, this is a fundamental dogma of our faith. In fact, when we are baptized in the Holy Trinity, as you know. That is why in this chapel we make such an important matter and are very fastidious, careful on examining those who want to be baptized, if they've been properly baptized, and if not, they need a conditional baptism. Because we cannot get to heaven without being baptized. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God the Father is the Creator. God the Son is the Redeemer. God the Holy Ghost is the Sanctifier. You remember that from your catechism. But all of those works are of all of the persons, of the entire Holy Trinity. But some works are attributed to different persons. So the Holy Trinity is the reason for all reality. And God has condescended to tell us about Himself. But it is so deep, so profound, that we cannot begin to understand to any great degree until we reach heaven. And even then, it'll be limited because God is infinite, and we are finite. But we can be part of that infinity, that eternity, while we're on earth, by being part of the true Catholic faith, by practicing our faith, by receiving the sacraments, and of course, being united to our Lord physically by the Holy Eucharist. The more we receive Holy Communion, the more likely we will reach heaven. Because, except for some exceptions, those who don't receive the Holy Eucharist cannot get to heaven. They have to, even in centuries past, there have been devout non-Catholics or little children, and they had a desire to receive. And that is connected to the baptism of desire to be in heaven with God. But God, for some of them, could not turn them away, and they received the Holy Eucharist miraculously. Sometimes, and these are recorded, these aren't fables, these are real events, that the Holy Eucharist would fly from the altar, from the ciborium, from the hands of the priest, and it would go and be put on the lips of the person who was dying. Such was their love, their craving to receive the spiritual food. So it shows the great mercy of God, compassion, that he becomes one of us, continues his incarnation by the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the seven sacraments. And we've mentioned this before, but it's called the law of incarnation, meaning God's physical presence on earth 2,000 years ago is continued by his physical presence by representations and symbols, sacraments, by the priesthood, by the Mass, and the Holy Eucharist especially. We had planned to read to you the Athanasian Creed. I don't know if you've heard of that. It is recited by the priest and by those who have the obligation to recite the divine office as part of the office of prime, composed by St. Athanasius against the heretics of his time, to emphasize in great degree and very explicitly the whole dogma of the Holy Trinity. But we will, if we can, give you that as an assignment. You can find it online, the Athanasian Creed. It takes 5-7 minutes to read. But it makes clear that there is only one God and that there are three persons in one God: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God the Father is completely God. God the Son is completely God. God the Holy Ghost is completely God. Even though we say God the Father is the first person, God the Son is the second person, and God the Holy Spirit is the third person, it does not mean that God the Father is greater than the Son or the Holy Ghost. That is a way for us to understand it, because being human beings, we have a limited understanding of the Holy Trinity. But God the Father is unbegotten, meaning he had no beginning, but he does not come from one of the other persons. God the Son had no beginning, but he is eternally begotten of the Father, meaning he comes forth from the Father. Everything the Father is expressed through the Word of God, Jesus Christ made man. And God the Holy Ghost, sometimes called the forgotten person because of the emphasis on our Lord, proceeds from the Father and the Son. That the love of the Father for God the Son and the love of God the Son for God the Father is so perfect and great, it is the person of the Holy Trinity called the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, continually reminds us of that. So when the priest comes out to the altar, the Mass begins, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen." And just as a reminder, I'll do it again, to make the sign of the cross properly, not with exaggeration or hurriedness or exaggerated gestures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. When you put your hand here, it's over your heart. And when you put your hands on your shoulder, it's right here on the front of your shoulder. And when you use holy water, it's more perfect. You know this, when you are troubled, when you are guilty of sin, when you need the help, the grace of God, make the sign of the cross, if possible, with holy water. And say it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Trinity. Help me in this difficult time. Don't abandon me. Of course, our Lord won't, but those are words of someone who is begging for God's help and mercy, which includes, this is very important, mercy from God includes contrition, sorrow for one's sins, and a firm purpose of amendment. That's why God extends mercy, so that we're sorry for our sins and we want to change our evil ways. And we want to be perfect like Him. So we will not read that, but remember, if you're able to, the Athanasian Creed. But we are going to read, at the concluding the sermon, a beautiful prayer. Because the origin of this prayer comes from those who are very devoted to the Holy Infant Jesus of Prague. And you may be familiar with this prayer because the very same person who donated this vestment suggested that a prayer to the Holy Infant would be included on the anniversary program of Our Father Superior on his 50th anniversary. So if you remember, on the back, there was a prayer. So we presented it to Father. Would you like to have this prayer as a little dedication? And he was very moved to have that prayer included. And there are many prayers in honor of the Holy Infant Jesus of Prague. But this one we found because, as you know, the Carmelite sisters here and the Carmelite order for centuries, this is one of their major devotions. And the sisters, for Christmas, they, as you know, you may know, they produce a holy card. And this was on the back. So I'm going to read it for you. Dearest Jesus, little infant of Prague, how tenderly you love us. Your greatest joy is to dwell among us and bestow your blessing upon us. Though I am not worthy that you should help me, I feel drawn to you by love because you are kind and merciful. So many who turned to you with confidence have received blessings and had their petitions granted. Behold me as I come before you to lay open my heart to you with its prayers and hopes. I present to you especially this request, which I enclose in your loving heart. Rule over me, dear infant Jesus, and do with me and mine according to your holy will. For I know that in your divine wisdom and love, you will arrange everything for the best. Do not withdraw your hand from me, but protect and bless me forever. I pray you, all-powerful and gracious infant Jesus, for the sake of your sacred infancy, in the name of your Blessed Mother Mary, who cared for you with such tenderness, and by the greatest reverence with which Saint Joseph carried you in his arms, help me in my needs. Make me truly happy with you, dearest infant, in time and in eternity. And I shall thank you forever with all my heart. Amen. May God bless you.